Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we do pray just for Brian and Sydney and the children. We thank you for their service, and we pray for their protection, Lord. And we thank you for their focus on you, their growth in you. And so, Lord, we just pray you honor them. I pray, God, too, that you just anoint us in this service, that you would open our eyes to see, give us eyes to see, Lord, and I pray you speak to our hearts. And God, I pray you anoint me, and I just speak things of the Spirit, and I pray the Spirit would communicate your truth. So we give you thanks in all things. Amen. Amen. I entitled the message this morning, It's Jesus. You may think, what? The whole point was, the thought was, it's like, gosh, if someone was in Leesburg, said, Jesus is in Leesburg. Wow, that's Jesus. You know, goes, it's Jesus. That was the whole focus, that to be able to see Jesus would tell everybody, hey, this is Jesus, and how it would move us. And I got to thinking about, as I was looking at the scripture, you know, how bad do we want to see Jesus? If, oh, I could just see Jesus. Or how bad do we want to hear the things of Jesus? Things of Jesus. And so that's kind of the process that I was going through. So let's just look at, and we'll be reading in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Luke 19, 1 through 4. It says this, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He's passing on the way to Jerusalem. So he was passing through to Jerusalem. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass by. Now, for some reason, the kids love this when the you know, in Sunday school, the kids just love it. They just see this guy climbing up in a tree to see Jesus. And it's a very interesting section as we read through this. And again, for me, as I read through it, for some reason, I became real reflective, just reflective about the Lord's call on my life, how he spoke to me. And what it made me think about is I think about Zacchaeus running, climbing up in this tree. He's a chief tax collector. He is rich. You know, I just think, can you think of Donald Trump running up, climbing a tree and saying, hey, just to see Jesus? You would think, man, that's a little different, you know. Well, that's kind of the same thing we've got here. And I just, what I was thinking about, that process and being reflective, and I remember as a lost person, I prayed to God, and he answered me. He answered me, and this led to a diligent search for God, which led me to read the Bible, discovering Jesus, and accepting him as my Savior. So, you know, it's just that was what happened. Then afterwards, after reading the Bible, accepting Christ as my Savior, being unchurched and not going to church, what I did, I went to a church, but I left because immediately denied the Word of God. Because it denied the Word of God. I say I left. I didn't stay. I just went to one service. It's like, I mean, I listened to this guy, and he didn't believe what I did. And I know he went to school. I didn't, you know. But it's like, okay, I don't know. He said, I'd like to come over and see you. I go, it's okay. So I went to second church. They denied the Word of God. So I left that church. I went to a third church, and that church denied the Word of God. I actually got in an argument with that pastor, so I left that church. So here we go. I'm three strikes. You know, it's just like, gosh. Then I went to a fourth church, and the preacher opened up the Bible, and he started preaching from the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know if you've kind of seen some of these old movies and these old Pentecostal tent revivals and, you know, people jumping and hollering. I held to the bottom of my seat because I was about to scream my head off. I said, oh, my God, there's somebody else that believes it. They believe it. And I declared right at that moment, I said, I will never leave this church as long as I live. That's what I said. Declared it right there because I heard the word of God. I said, I'll never leave it. And that was Reston Bible Church, and that was Pastor Minner. Right there. So it was my first church. It was my last church until he sent me out here to start this church. So this is my second church. Okay. But I only left it because he said, you go out and start this church. So when you think about it, you come to church, you want to see Jesus. You don't go to church. You want to meet Jesus. You want to hear the Word of God. You want to hear the Word of God. And I knew nothing. I just read the Bible once, and I knew that. I just read it one time, and I knew that. Never been to church, but I knew that's all I wanted to hear. All I wanted to hear. Now, since then, I came across a few people who I discerned intimately knew Jesus, okay? And some of them were Pastor Milliken, who you heard me talk about, Bill Wright, Larry Stocksill, Larry Crider, Leon Price. And so they knew Christ in an intimate way. And I did everything I could to be with them as much as I could because I wanted to know everything they knew. Because I knew they knew Christ and they had to walk with them, you know. A lot of people say they have a walk, but there's only a few of them that do. And you discern that. You discern that. And so that's what I did. I did everything I could to spend time with them. I always liked Bill Wright. He graduated number one at the University of Virginia. He went to Harvard Law School, and he was an Oxford scholar and went to Scott and graduated from Oxford. And he told me, he said, with all this, the only thing worth reading is the Bible. So, I mean, I skipped University of Virginia, Oxford, Harvard Law School. I just went to the Bible, all right? So he read all that and got there. I just skipped those and I got there, all right? And he says, you read the Bible. Bill Wright would say, he goes, you read the Bible every morning and you read it and God will tell you what you are to do that day. That's what he told me. Like, really? Yes, every day. He said, I read it every day until he tells me something. And then I go out in the day. Okay, so I've done that since then. That's what I do. I do. So I just do it. So I read it. You know. And so you see these people and you see the power of God working through them. And so I just want to know what you know. And there's a few of them you come around and, you know, preachers, and you think, I don't want to know what you know. You know, and that's good. That's discernment. That's discernment. That's discernment. And so, in a sense, when I was thinking, you know, I climbed the tree to see Jesus. And I climbed the tree to see his servants who knew him in a powerful way. I did do that. I actually did do that. Like I said, it's kind of reflective. And then it just like dawned, you know, people say, this defines me. This is the core of who I am. Yeah, this defines me. This is the core of who I am. I stand on the Bible, and the Bible alone. That's it. Now, like I say, I skipped the University of Virginia, Harvard, and Oxford, but I stand on the Bible with the ones who went and stand on the Bible, you know. So it's like, all right. So that motivates everything about what I do. And each morning, and again, because of that, I need to pray more. I really do need to learn how to pray more in God. I'm always convicted of that. But I do spend every morning. Every morning I read. God's given me an opportunity until he speaks to me and tells me what I need to do and what he beholds for me. And I'll tell you this. This is encouraging. Every morning after I spend time with the Lord, I am really, really encouraged. I am. It's just like, man, we're on top of the world. Things are going to work out. It just takes me about 3 hours to get in the world and say, oh, dear God, I don't know how we're ever going to get this, you know. So I need that pump every morning, you know, so at least. And so it keeps me, you know, confidence in him. And what I found out about God when you stay in the world, he's not worried. He's not worried about nothing. And he keeps telling me, what are you worried about? don't know, you know? And so I keep in the scripture, keep speaking, and keep speaking. So I pass that on because the word's for all of you. He's for all of you. It's a relationship for all of you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? It's the way it's supposed to be. Now, the question is, ask myself, you know, and in the world around us, you continue to bring it up. How bad do we want to see Jesus? Now, why I say that. How bad do we want to behold him and see what he's doing and be a part of what he's doing? How bad do we want to hear the things of Jesus? I remember when Pastor Minner opened that Bible and he read from it, and I literally did almost scream. I almost screamed, but nobody else was. And so I just, okay, you better hold this till I leave, you know. And it was like, I'm not leaving. I'll never leave because that's what I want. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God. So the thing is, how bad do we want to hear the things of Jesus or have the things of this world blinded our eyes to the glory of Jesus that we don't seek him anymore? We don't seek him anymore. Why? Because things around. We don't seek him anymore. You're not saying they're bad or anything. They just have blinded us that we don't seek him anymore. Him anymore. It's hard to do that. If you spend time with him every morning, it's hard to do that. Because he keeps reminding you. He keeps reminding you. Or has the presence of Jesus been replaced by all the good things of the world? Or has the glitter of religious entertainment, wonderful programs, spectacular praise music, feel-good platitudes replaced the true Word of God? Now, I've watched, every once in a while, I like to flip. Y'all all know I like to flip through TV, and I watch all sorts of crazy stuff. And so I like these biographies of all these people and all these preachers, and I watch this. I even watch one thing, a biography of these Mormon preachers, which just made me irritated. I just furious. I needed to get back in the Word after I watched that. Linda goes, why do you do that? And I don't know why I do that. You know, but you read and you listen to these guys, and some of them are really good, you know. And you listen, and they don't say nothing about Jesus. They don't pick up the Word. They don't quote any scripture. And everybody's going, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? This is not a soccer game. Something ought to be said about Jesus in this. And it's nothing is said. I was watching one thing, and this guy was just rah, rah, rah. And again, I'm sure y'all know this, but he held up this bottle, and he named this guy, and he said he prayed over this bottle, and it has oil in it. If I sinned him, it would make me better. And I thought, you know, who's going to do that? That guy ain't said nothing about Jesus, and if he did, I'm not buying his oil. You know, I don't need his oil to make me feel better. What is that nonsense, you know? So that's the reason I'm in the Word every morning, because I irritate myself by looking at all this stuff, you know? So I just encourage you, don't do that. Don't do that. So, but you see this, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And then, do we let these, in fact, replace our devotion to Christ? Have these replaced a heart that would climb a tree to see a glimpse of Jesus? Oh, just climb a tree just so I could see a glimpse of Jesus, of Jesus. It's like, no, God said, no, it's the Word of God. It's me. This is what I'm going to tell you. And like Bill Wright said, you read and he'll tell you that morning what you're to do that day. Right there. Now, he did it, and he lived it out. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you what he did. God told him to go to China, okay? Watch out. You may read the Word. They don't tell him what he'll tell you, okay? Told him to go to China. He became fluent in Chinese, two dialects. I mean, that shows he's a valedictorian, University of Virginia, went to first in Harvard Law School, Oxford. So he learns two dialects of China. So God didn't call me to China. I don't think it'd take more than the Holy Spirit to get me to learn two dialects in China, okay? Chinese. So he goes there, and he is a lawyer, okay? He is a lawyer, and he establishes a law firm in China. And the reason is so that he can minister to the Chinese. I mean, that's a call, isn't it? You learn, go to China, you learn two dialects of Chinese, you establish a law firm to minister in China, you're watching China and all this stuff, all this nonsense. Bill Wright is there preaching Christ, preaching Christ. And he is a gifted lawyer here, but now he's a gifted lawyer in China. I think they have different laws than we do. I mean, I'm just guessing like that. But anyway, so you look at people and you go, oh my goodness. And so it stirs you to, so I wanted to know everything I could about him. I got, this is kind of off the thing, but I share this with you. I talked to him. He says, you got to hear God. I go, what are you talking about? He'll speak. I'm not hearing nothing. You know, he says, he'll speak to you. And it's over. And he'd tell me all this to speak to me, what he did. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And frustrated. He was frustrated. He goes, here, turn to Luke. We're going to get there. Turn to Luke 24:32. And it says this. And the two men going to Emmaus, after they finished going to Emmaus, talking to Jesus, and he opened up the scripture to him, and then they sat down to eat, and Jesus disappeared before him. And the guy said to the other, he said, didn't their heart burn within us as he opened up the scripture? He goes, that's what I mean. Oh. And then all of a sudden I realized that as you read in the scriptures, the Lord is stir and burn. Like you read through the scriptures and something will just burn up, pop up, burn up. I thought it was indigestion. I didn't know what. You know, it's God speaking to me. I thought, oh my God, he's been speaking to me for years and I never knew. It sounds like some of your kids. I mean, you talk to them, they don't hear nothing. That's when it was like, oh my gosh, he's been speaking to me. And I went back and looked at the scriptures and looked at all the things he'd already been talking to me about, things he had already told me. And then all of a sudden, I started paying more attention. And when I'd read that, you ever read the Bible and it just kind of comes off in bold print? He's speaking to you. You ever read through the Bible and your spirit just jumps? He's speaking to you. It's his word of God. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Holy Spirit indwells with us, in us. And so we read it. So the one who wrote the Bible interprets the Bible and stirs in us when he's speaking specifically. Now, it's all good, but he does speak specifically. And so I read it. He burns his life. Don't worry. Burns. Do keep doing what you're doing. It burns. I'm telling you this. It burns. Just go get Jesus. See what I'm saying? That's what Bill Wright told me. That's what, and it's like, oh my gosh, God speaks today all the time. Now he speaks in other ways, but he speaks through his word. So I read it every morning, you know, because it's me and Jesus. I don't read nothing else. You know, I'm getting in the morning, 6:00, I'm going to read Reader's Digest. Not doing it. But get up 6:00 in the morning and spend time with Jesus, climb a tree just to behold him, I'll do that. Amen? Because I see the purpose and I see the mighty God and I see what he's doing. See? And then all of a sudden you go, why you do the things you do? I hate to tell you this. Jesus told me. That's what God told me to do. But this won't work and that won't work. You can't do this. You can't do that. This is what Jesus told me. So you just stay. You just keep going. You see what I'm saying? You ever notice that God does something, does different things than you think he ought to do? So you really need him to tell you what to do because he's going to do stuff you don't think he ought to do. So you need him to tell you. Do you think everybody else is going to agree and believe he's thinking stuff you don't think he ought to do? People around you certainly don't think you ought to do it. Right? So it's like, God, it's just me and Jesus. That's kind of what it is. Jesus, that's right. That's what it's supposed to be. But I want more friends, God. No, it's you and Jesus. Amen? Amen? Oh, by the way, Bill Wright, a lot of people didn't like him. They didn't like him. You know, because he's kind of blunt. Oh, I got to tell you this. This guy, Bill Wright was talking to this guy, and he was just going back and forth. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me what's wrong. He goes, you don't know Jesus. I lost one friend right there. I mean, but he was telling the problem, you don't know Jesus. If you knew Jesus, then he'd speak to you. See, like I said, that's the reason Bill Wright didn't have a lot of friends. Actually, he had a lot of friends, but he had interesting friends. He had interesting friends. Interesting friends. So, but what it is, he speaks to the Zacchaeus, the one who climbs a tree to just get a glimpse. That's who he speaks to, see? There's a minister from China. They took this Chinese minister, and of course, they're persecuting China for Christians, but there's, in fact, some people say the biggest number of Christians in the world is in China because it spread. You had all these ministers. We're reading about one of them, Eric Little, one of them. He had died over there. That's in the men's book study there. Hudson Taylor was in there, all these people. And the word of God is really spread through China, but they're in house churches and stuff because it's persecuted, and it's really moving about. And some people actually say there are probably more Christians in China than all the world. See, but it's underground. It's because they're persecuted. And they had a minister from China, brought him here, and of course, given the material back then, you had to smuggle stuff in. Now, I guess you just give a disc or download something. Things improved quite a bit. And so they brought this Chinese minister, and they took him to a facility in a real large church, and they says, "What do you think about this?" And he said, "It's amazing what you have done without the Holy Spirit." Well, I don't think this guy had friends. I mean, it's just like, golly. Now, granted, there's big churches preaching the gospel, and that's not a slam on that. But it's like, it's a slam on what you're preaching. Slam on what you're preaching. We're sending Brian and Sydney off, and what I told both of them, and they can verify this, find a good church preaching the gospel, look at the doctrinal statement. Didn't I say that? That's what I said, right? Okay. What kills me, and I'm like, hey, but we have couples that left, and their friends, and they leave, and they move, and they come back, and they're going to some liberal church that doesn't preach the gospel. I am just like horrified. What have you been doing? You ain't heard a word I said, or you didn't care. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing in that place? Now, I won't have friends, so I don't tell them. All right, but it's like, what are you doing? Don't bother. Don't bother. You want to see somebody pick up the word of God and preach it. Preach it. Now, and we have to understand, and we all know this, that Jesus is not a facility. Jesus is not a religion. He's not a moral behavior. He's not a truth to be discussed. Let's just discuss Jesus. We'll go on, you know, some morning show and discuss. No! I don't discuss whether Linda's my wife. That's not a topic for discussion. It is a fact. All right? And we won't discuss it. It is a fact. So, you know, it's not something to be discussed. Jesus is the presence of God that changes circumstances, whose word calms the seas, moves mountains, stops storms, makes it rain, keeps it from raining, gives promotion, takes promotions away, destroys armies, raises up kings, brings kings down, raises the dead, heals the sick, and gives us eternal life. And he will return one day and destroy this whole world, you know how? By the word of his mouth. You know, Jesus is going to come back, you know, and he's going to get a big stick and just beat everything to a pulp. No, he's going to speak. He's going to go. Do you know how this world was created? Spoke. Okay. Or to read it. Read it in the morning. He'll tell you what to do that day. Oh, I'm just too tired. Go ahead. Stumble through it. Go into your traffic jam and be late for work and get fired. You see what I'm saying? He will tell you up front. He will tell you up front. And so that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And so we know that it's the word of his mouth that wrote the word. It's the word of his mouth that created the world. It's the word of his mouth that's going to destroy the world. And we have the word of his mouth. Who wants to go to hear some religious platitude? Oh, be good to your neighbor. Ain't going to help, but be good to them. Have friends. Share Jesus with your neighbor. Well, they won't like me. Well, you know, they're going to hell. You don't have anything to do with them anyway. No, that's terrible. That's the reason I don't have any friends. Okay. You see what I'm saying? What in the world? We got to know what we have here. And so, therefore, you think about it, when Jesus, the Son of God, Christ, comes by, it's really a small thing that Zacchaeus would climb a tree so he could see. So that's kind of like, gosh, yeah, man, he ought to. That's not a big deal when you put that in context. And the comment there is, do we have the same passion? Do we have the same passion for Jesus? Do we have the same passion for Jesus? Now, so we also see that this very deliberate act, and by the way, Zacchaeus, he's come up, he's just heard about Jesus. He didn't know everything's going on. He just heard about him. He says, what's the big deal? But we see that this very deliberate act by Zacchaeus, it's a very deliberate, I mean, wouldn't you say climbing a tree to see is a deliberate act? Oh, I just walking along, thought I'd climb a tree. No, it's a deliberate act. So this very deliberate act does not go unnoticed. It does not go. So Jesus is trucking along, all these people around him. He sees this guy in the tree. It says this in Luke 19:5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus. He doesn't know Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. I wonder if anybody told him what his name was. He's like, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. So we can't overlook it, the fact that Jesus was surrounded by hundreds of people. He's walking past hundreds more. However, Jesus took note of Zacchaeus because he climbed a tree to see him, So Jesus honored Zacchaeus and said, come down, I want to stay in your house. Now, Zacchaeus is a well-known sinner. He's chief tax collector. And he's very rich. And you get rich by ripping other people off. That's what tax collectors did. Okay, so he's a chief sinner. Everybody knew it. And when Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, come on, I'm going to stay in your house. What did they do? He's going to stay with a sinner. But it's a sinner that climbed a tree to see Jesus. See? So he's a well-known sinner and everybody knew it. But Jesus honors a heartfelt, passionate desire that would even climb a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. So that's the thing. It's like, what do we want? We usually get what we want. I just want to know. I just want to see Jesus. I just want to know. Then that's what you get. I remember back, and when God answered that prayer, God, I just want to know. Is there a God you can pray to him? And he does something. I want to know. Which hadn't stopped. I'm still going, I want to know. Found out God's infinite, so you never learn everything. So you see this, and so he's climbed this tree. So there's a lesson today. Those with a heartfelt, passionate desire that they'd even climb a tree to see Jesus, he honors it. He still honors it. He honors that heart. Now, right before this section, there's another account. So Jesus is going from Jericho into Jerusalem. So he has another encounter. Before this encounter. Okay, just before this one, he has another encounter. But what we're going to see is the same desire. The same desire in this person that Zacchaeus had. And look at what Jesus does. And so you can just listen to me or follow along. This is Luke 18:35 through 42. And I'll just read through this. Self-explanatory. And as Jesus drew near to Jericho, it's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the other side of Jericho, goes through Jericho, he's going to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a cry, going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Now this is the end of Jesus' ministry. The words got out. This guy, stuff's happening. Nobody knows exactly everything's going, but stuff is happening. He said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by. And the beggar cried out, Jesus. Remember, he's going all these people. He said, Jesus. Jesus, Son of David. Now that's important. Don't overlook that. Jesus, Son of David. That means he's in the lineage of Christ. Christ comes from David. So there was some connection. Okay, this is the guy they're talking about. Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him, be silent, shut up. Gosh, you're making all this racket. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Now, this is before Zacchaeus. He ain't got to Zacchaeus. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him, because he's blind, he can't see. Commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near to him, he asked him. Now, I think this is interesting. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I think that's important. Something, oh, God, help me. Jesus goes, what do you want me to do? Oh, I don't care. Do something. Okay. Now, he wants to know what you want him to do. You know, be a little specific. Okay. Tell me. We kind of zero in on this. All right. So he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. Now, you would think Jesus would notice the guy's blind. Wouldn't you? You figure that. But he said, what do you want me to do? Guy had to tell him. See, there's a relation. There's a connection. There's a connection. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, recover my sight. And Jesus said, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Guy saw. Guess what he did? He followed Jesus. He goes, I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving this guy. Just like I said in that church, I heard the word, I ain't leaving this church. Oh, my God, I heard the word of God. I can't leave. I heard the word. Oh, I'm not leaving him. You see what I'm saying? There's a passion to see Jesus and hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Now, I put an overhead up here, so I told Christina I'd tell her because we don't have many overheads this morning. But here's an overhead. I want you to look at this. And I love what this says. I absolutely love what it says. The blind beggar cried out. They say, hey, Jesus going by. The blind beggar cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he was told to be quiet, he cried out all the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. You don't talk about this Jesus stuff. Shut up. Oh, you're making too much racket. Be quiet. Oh, don't do this. Oh, you have a faith, but keep it yourself. Don't say anything. It's all a personal thing. Cry out. You cry out. Oh, my gosh, you cry out. When we truly seek Jesus, we shouldn't pay any attention to what anyone else thinks. Are we going to trust in Jesus and just walk around and look for people that agree with us? It ain't going to happen. Now, if you build right, you don't care. He ain't care. That's your issue, you don't know Jesus, you know. Like that. See, I mean, now I'm not telling you to be rude. Maybe I am telling you to be rude. I don't know. What are you saying? You cry out all the more. You don't pay attention to what anybody else says. You're crying out for Jesus. And they tell you to be quiet. You cry out all the more. All the more. So, when we truly seek Jesus, we don't pay attention to what other people said. Jesus will honor that heartfelt determination. It's individual. Now I want you to look at something, what Jesus says to this blind beggar. Now listen to this closely. This is what he says to him. He cried out. They said, be quiet. He cried out all the more. And Jesus said to him, this is verse 42, Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. This guy didn't care. This guy didn't care what anybody said, what anybody did. He didn't care. Persevered, heartfelt. He goes, your faith. Be quiet. Don't say anything about you. Okay, golly, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't think God honors that faith. I don't think he honors that faith. Oh, God never hears me. What, ever ask him anything? You ever committed anything? You're going to stick something through all sorts of turmoil and believe on him? Are you just going to fold and back up because of the outside things that tell you it won't work. I mean, is that what he says? Your faith has made you well. You add, your faith I'll work through. Your faith. Now, what's faith? You see Jesus, you believe what he'll do what he says, and you trust in him, and he works through you. He said, why did this happen? Why did, I'm going to ask you, if when they came to the blind beggar, and he says, how did you see? What's he going to say? Well, you know, went to this doctor and had the cataract surgery or something. I mean, what's he going to say? How do you see? Jesus did it. Jesus did it. There's another situation in the Gospel of John, and Jesus healed this guy where he could see his eyes. And they come to him, and the Pharisees go, this guy's a liar, this is the guy's this. And he goes, what do you have to say for yourself? He goes, well, I'll tell you this, I don't know. But I know I was blind, and now I see. See, you give it, I don't know, Jesus did it. So for Jesus to do it, for him to get the credit, we have to be in an impossible situation. And he gets the credit, and everybody else knows it. Amen? I mean, that's what it said. So it's a powerful thing. Now, the question for each of us in this dark and godless world, will we give the extra effort to climb a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus? Will we cry out to Jesus? Even if the rest of the world tells us to be quiet. Jesus, now what does this tell us? Jesus is looking for, now see, Jesus got a whole bunch of folks. Jesus is looking for people like the blind beggar and the sinner Zacchaeus. That's who he's looking for. That's who he's looking for. That's who he took notice of. Now I want to show you something. This is interesting. And listen how Jesus closes this section with these two guys. This is how he closes it. Verse 10, Luke 19, 10. This is what Jesus says. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And Jesus goes, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, one word in there kind of is troubling. Seek. I mean, he's just walking along. You know, the blind beggar, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sounds like the beggar seeking to me. He goes down and sees, like, he's in a tree, Jesus, he's looking. See what we misunderstand. That within our heart that stirs us to see Jesus is what God put in there to seek him. So Jesus is seeking. See, we think we're seeking, but it's Jesus. And I talk to some folk, and I don't think God put nothing in their heart because they're not seeking. See, to seek, you have to have God work within your heart. Often, this happened more than once, people come to me and talk to them, had opportunity to share Christ with them or something like that, and they'll say, you know, I'm just seeking after God, and I want to know things, I'm looking for them. Well, that's good, you know, we'll talk, and then I'll share with them, I just want to let you know, you say you're seeking after God, I just want to let you know, God had put it in your heart to seek him, his hands on you. See, he came to seek the beggar. He came to seek Zacchaeus, and they just responded. He goes, okay, now come on, you're moving what I put in your heart, now come on, and I'll finish the message. Amen? That's exactly what it's because the Son of Man comes to seek and save the lost. Now, I think it's important to know here, Jesus's work is not completed. It's not completed. Because he's heading to Jerusalem. We talked about that last week. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified for our sin. So Jesus must continue his journey. Now here comes the beggar and Zacchaeus. They're following him. And he's going to Jerusalem. We'll have a party at Jerusalem. The Messiah is coming. But the Messiah, no, I have something else to do. Because what he has to do, Jesus has to be crucified to pay the penalty for the beggar's sin and for Zacchaeus' sin and for our sin. So they can experience the fullness of who God is. He has to continue the journey and die for their sins. See, Jesus knows that only the cross and the resurrection would the blind beggar have eternal life. would Zacchaeus have eternal life, and would we have eternal life. And all mankind would be able to receive the free gift. So he has to continue to Jerusalem, to the cross and the resurrection that was predicted in the Old Testament. Now, so here we are. And here's a question for us. Here's a question for us. And this is an important question. What in our lives is more important than Jesus? What we do, what we do, will communicate the truth of that. And what we have to look at what Jesus did for us. Look at what Jesus did for us. So if we grasp that, climb a tree. You know, all I know, he answered me. God, he actually, I said something. He answered. He actually moved. Oh, my God. What is that? You know, and look what he did. Ephesians have the overhead here. You know it well. Ephesians 8, 9, 2, 8, 9. For by grace, for the power and favor of God, you have been saved through faith. You believed. You believed. You really believed. You climbed a tree. You cried out. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no man should boast. It's just Jesus alone. It's just Jesus alone. So the question is, what is more important than Jesus? That's a question. Bill Wright, number one, at UVA. I'm just happy I can say that. I knew a guy that's number one, UVA. Graduated top of his class at Harvard Law School. Oxford scholar. He says, just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Read the Bible. He goes, the only important thing to him is Jesus. Read it each morning, and Jesus will speak to you and tell you what to do that day. Now, if you're saying, oh, God, how do you do that? I'm going to say what he said to me. Look at Luke 24, verse 32. Look at it. See, that's when it clicked. Oh, my God. And I found out God had been talking to me for years, and I didn't hear it. I didn't know. I'd even written down, gosh, this thing keeps jumping off the page of me, and I'd write it down, going, oh, my God. It wasn't just a cover. He's speaking to me. See, that's what you want your kids to one day say, oh, you're speaking to me. Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, I just get up every morning. What do you want me to do? I don't think that's going to happen, but it's like you go that same direction. Amen? Let's just stand up. Praise Jesus. And thankful. It really is simple. The one question is, and this will dictate our entire life, what's more important than Jesus? It should be nothing. Should be nothing. And I want to go where the word is preached. Brian in Sydney, in Colorado. And they got a huge ministry in Colorado. I mean, they got powerful ministry. Dobson is in Colorado. Oh, my gosh. All sorts of things. But you hear the word of God. And I want to know people who love the word of God. And I see the power. I want to know how they do it. Because they're out there. And you got a few guys out there trying to sell you olive oil for $1.95. You got to have some discernment. But there are those out there that love Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We give all thanks to you. We praise your holy name. And Lord, too, we just say, you saved us. You loved us. You called us. Somehow, each of us can say that you received you as our Savior. Somehow, you touched us. Somehow, you spoke to us. And we just build on what you've already done. And we thank you because you spoke the word and created the world. And when you speak the word to us, that same creative power is at work through us. So we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.